Hello everyone and welcome to the CreatoCast. For those of you who do not know me, my name is John Doherty and I am the founder of GetCreato.com, which is a service where we connect businesses with the right SEO or digital marketing agency or consultant for their specific business's needs. On the CreatoCast, I interview well-known entrepreneurs and digital marketers about what they do, why they do it, and who they do it for. Today, I have with me Aleida Solis, who is a Spain-based digital marketing consultant specializing in SEO, international SEO, AMP, and things of that nature. In this interview, we talk about how she is building her consultancy, not by hiring full-time people, but by building the lifestyle that she wants. It's a super fascinating conversation, a little bit wide-ranging, but we get into what she is building, why she's building it, who she does her best work for, and why she's doing her life this way. So enjoy, and we'd love your comments at the bottom of the blog post. All right, everyone, welcome back. Today, I have with me Aleida Solis, who is a solo international SEO consultant based in Spain, mostly in Madrid, but she's also the co-founder of Remoters.net, which is a website that helps people basically learn how to work better from anywhere in the world. She's often on an airplane traveling places. I'm actually currently in Alaska, so I've taken a bunch of lessons from Aleida. She's been a friend for a while now. I think we actually met, was it MozCon 2012? Is that where we first met?
I think so. It was something at MozCon, like indeed. Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. So Aleida, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do, where you do it from, all those things?
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be sharing with you today. I'm an international SEO consultant, indeed. I have been doing SEO since 2007, 10 years ago. I feel pretty old already. So I've worked in agencies, local agencies in Spain, also US agencies from Spain to as an in-house SEO. So I've done a little bit all the type of roles until a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, when I became independent and I founded my own SEO consultancy. I am very focused on SEO strategy, technical SEO, international SEO, mobile SEO mostly. And yes, what I usually do is to help mostly now big brands that need external help, input, validation for complex projects or strategical projects in certain industries or new markets, for example, to help them to develop those projects. Most of my clients, and is an interesting characteristic, they already have an in-house SEO team. Mm-hmm. And what I do is to provide external help, external input, validation. So that is very satisfying for me, because one of the things that I really wanted to do when becoming independent was to continue doing SEO on a day-to-day basis, because this is what I really, really, really enjoy. And the reason why I'm not like the typical agency, also I am a highly specialized consultancy. I have a couple of people helping me doing a bit of legwork, but yes, it's me doing the actual analysis, recommendations, day to day, handling clients, etc. And as you mentioned, John, I do it on the go a little bit because I travel a lot. I go to conferences. I enjoy also speaking a lot, sharing. So that is the other characteristic. Most of my clients, despite the fact that I have my base in Spain, are from all over. A lot of my clients are from the US, also all over Europe. So yes, that is the other characteristics, which it's working pretty well. And that is the reason why I have this side project, Remoters, where I share resources, jobs, any information regarding remote work. And hopefully, I really hope to help others also to be able to be location independent and to actually enjoy doing their work from whatever they want.
Awesome. That's you are a busy woman. Every time I look at Facebook or Twitter or something, you're like, you're at the airport again, you're in a lounge, you're heading somewhere else, you're flying to, where were you recently? Copenhagen or something like that? Like you're all over the place. It's pretty incredible to me. So let's step back, you know, let's go back a couple of years. I know you worked for an agency in the States for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then you went in-house, right? Working for like an SEO tool based there. Was it Serbwoo? Is that where you were?
No, WooRank, the last
WooRank, okay,
job that
something
I
new,
had
okay,
in-house, indeed.
yep.
And before that, I was at Seer.
Yep.
And before that, I was as an in-house SEO in Bula Click. Yeah, so
Okay.
I had many previous roles,
Yeah.
both company sites and agency sites, indeed.
Totally. So what was it like? What was the main thing that made you want to go out and get out on your own? And then I'm all about lifestyle design. I'm all about building a business that you actually want to operate and that lets you live the life that you want to live. And it seems like you're doing that. So tell us a bit about like the beginning stages of that, going out on your own, getting clients, and then like what are some of the phases you've gone through, over the last couple of years to be able to, live the life that you're living now, which seems like the life that you want to live.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Yeah. So that's very important, and I love that you mentioned that you're able to set and to live the lifestyle that you want before waiting for, I don't know, 10 years or whatever years it takes for you to sell your company
Right.
and or even retire if you're an employee or something like that, right? So for me it was that for a long time already I had been doing SEO for a while. I had been speaking for a while too. I started speaking in Spanish, my native language, since 2009, and then it was 2012 indeed when I started speaking in English internationally, right? So and also written blog posts, so that helped my personal brand definitely. So many more companies started to ask me to help them, right? So I when I was working for agency, I referred them to the agency, or when I was working in-house, I was like, okay, maybe I can do this side project, etc. But this opportunity is starting to come more and more on one hand. So I knew that I had the opportunity to be independent already because I had this reputation, thankfully, that will allow me to not start from scratch, that will allow me to have a certain number of clients from the beginning. And I knew that when I started to say that now I am available, now I'm completely focused on doing consultancy, I knew that more were going to come
Right.
rather easily because I had already established certain reputation. And
Yep.
then on the other hand, the reason, well, that was like a really nice base to have, right? However, the reason why I did it is like in all of my different roles that I had, right? One of the main reasons that I continue changing and looking for more opportunities is that I wanted to have the influence to build something important, something big, to really influence positively the business that I was working with. Unfortunately, when you're whether working in-house, there's sometimes so much bureaucracy around it, right? Or when you're agency side, you cannot go really in depth into the projects because you're handling so many clients and you don't even decide on them, right?
Yep.
So
You can't
I
pick the
wanted
vertical
to
or your specialty or something like that. Yeah, totally.
indeed. So I wanted to have the flexibility and the opportunity to really select the companies, the businesses where I will really think that I will be able to help the most to really move the needle of that company, and to make sure that these projects were projects where I will have the resources and flexibility to do things, right? So they were more aligned to my own also mission, vision, of everything from a business perspective too. So thankfully, I since I had again like already more or less established reputation at the point, I thought, okay, I need to give it a go. I need to see if I am able to do this. Also, one of the aspects that pushed me to do this switch at that point is that I was being requested much more to go and speak, etc. So it was me asking for permission every single time. It's like, oh my God, I wish I was independent to be able to go wherever I wanted and work from whatever I wanted. So I was like, why I cannot do that? I can definitely do that. So this is and one of this was one of the reasons also that made me decide to do the change. So you can see there was this mix up of reasons from a business and flexibility perspective, and also a lifestyle perspective, right?
So would you say that establishing your own, like you mentioned a couple times now, but establishing your own, like your own name and your own, reputation within the industry as, as an expert, like you're a speaker. I mean, you've spoken at
MozCon many times. Like, you've spoken at the biggest conferences in the world as far as digital marketing is concerned. Would you say that that is definitely like that's a huge reason why you were able to go and, you know, do your own thing and thus far be successful in it?
Indeed, that definitely. And thankfully, this was not something that is forcing me, because I know that it depends on your personality and what you really, in the way that you are, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe you are not a person who likes to write or likes to share by default, or write to connect and network. But this is how I am, thankfully. So it was very natural for me when I was learning SEO, for example, to share what I learned for good or for bad, and then share this also on a stage, which, for example, in English, it was there was this added challenge for me, mm-hmm. that English is not my native language. But so it was such a nice challenge to have, and I ended up enjoying it a lot and pushed me more, I will say. So there was these many things that, again, they are not necessarily natural for many people. Thankfully for me, they were pretty natural, and I can definitely say, mm-hmm. that helped me a lot. Still right now, I have the great benefit that most of my clients right now are companies that came to me or were referred by other companies or former clients that I had at some point, or other consultants that, mm-hmm. referred them to me. But at the end, it's not me needing to go and do outreach and sell myself and do proposals and, yeah, right. all these type of things. So right. I thankfully have the opportunity to really focus on doing what I really love, that is SEO, instead of selling or pitching or these type of things.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Totally. So let's talk about that a little bit more, because right before we started recording, we were talking about that you don't have, and you mentioned in your intro that you don't have, you know, employees, you haven't gone the agency route, which, you know, a lot of our friends have done. We also have friends that are, you know, still solo consultants. You're still solo, I'm solo, mm-hmm. you know, but why did you make that choice specifically? And if someone else was like, you know, if they're like, they're at mm-hmm. kind of the point where you were, and they're like, well, I'm doing my own thing, and it's like, it's pretty good, but like, maybe I can make more money running an agency or mm-hmm. something like that. Like, How have you thought through that?
Well, for me, what was important is to keep doing what I really liked and I really loved the most, on one hand, with the type of flexibility that I really enjoy, because these were the two reasons, right? At the end of the day, why I ended up founding my own business and becoming independent. So just to scale or to grow, I didn't want it to lose that, because mm-hmm. for me, it would be to miss all the benefits that I had by having my own thing, right? So if I lost that, I would rather well go back and be again an employee, right? Sure. So to be able to keep that, I thought of how do I grow without losing that. So for me, the way that it has been possible is that instead of growing with a number of clients, a higher number of clients is growing with the sizes of projects mm-hmm. that I work on. Right. More complex projects, more specialized projects I can focus on, and bigger companies, bigger mm-hmm. brands that are able, of course, projects that are much more critical, so they are willing to invest much more mm-hmm. Towards these projects. And then I also have gotten external help of people who are also consultants themselves, mm-hmm. and they are very happy to say, okay, I will block half of my time to support you on doing this task that is a lot of, for example, research, validation, things like that, mm-hmm. Crawling, data gathering, segmentation, where I don't add that much value. And what I continue doing, of course, is I verify everything that is well done for certain standards that I require, yep. on one hand, and then on the other hand, analyzing the data, doing recommendations based on the data, and establishing strategies based on it, and following up with it, of course. So I have been able to delegate and identify tasks that are rather repetitive or very simple for me, where I don't add that much value, that I'm able to delegate them to these other people who are collaborating with me, because it's nice work on one hand, and they are also working from whatever they want, and they also have their own projects, etc. So it's a win-win type of scenario, and I it's not as straightforward as you can see, and you need to be willing to take a little bit more risks and try things and verify things. But for me, it has worked pretty well like this, and thankfully I have been able to grow much more like this, while keeping the lifestyle that I like, and while also in keeping doing the things that I enjoy the most, and continue giving my clients also the unique selling proposition and the big benefit of working with me, which is that I handle the projects myself. They always speak to me. When we interact, when we analyze, when I recommend, it is me handling it and not a junior person at a big agency, things like that, right?
Right, totally. So did you start with, I'm curious, did you start with the lifestyle that you wanted to have and then built your business around that? Or did you, you know, start building your business and then basically realize that you had built like the wrong thing? Like where did you even start with that?
No, I think it was, in my case, it was when I became independent, I realized, oh my God, like, well, the reason why I became independent is because I wanted to be my own boss, right? To be able to go and work and for example, speak whatever where I was being asked, right? But then I realized, like, the typical evolution of the next step for everybody was to set a nice office in the center of a big city or something like that and start hiring people to go to the office. And then I realized, hey, why do I need an office? If all of my clients, in my case, right, were not local. Mm-hmm. When I became independent, I was fully independent. I was in Brussels, and I had zero clients in Brussels at the time. And I was like, should I really establish or try to establish? I started to go to a co-working, but then I realized that it was nice to network, nice to chat, to keep a social thing going on, but I cannot even focus myself on doing the actual work, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up just going once per week or twice per week or something like that, and I ended up doing the work at home. So that taught me, look, I am going to make the most out of it, and really, like, let's ditch this big office idea as a type of metric for success, right? No, mm-hmm. I don't want an office. My metric for success is to be able to work from that big benefit, right? To be able to work from whatever I want, and let's then go to nicer places to work from. So that was where it all started, like this, right?
Totally. I love that, because that also shows that you're willing to test things, right? You're like, oh yeah, I'm in Brussels, so I'm gonna start going to a co-working space because that's what independents do. And then you're like, actually, like, this isn't like getting me to, this is not why I started like my own thing, and like, I don't want to have to go to an office. Like, I personally, like, I don't have an office at a co-working space. I've thought about it, but I'm like, but I get the most work done at home. So why am I going to do that?
You know, yeah, I realized, like, oh, I go to the co-working, right? Or make me go to the co-working, I end up doing something that I hated before, that was commuting, taking the subway, or even driving, or like, I don't like this. Why should I, if I have the control now, to be able to do it or not, right? So yes, indeed.
Totally. So let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about, you consult with enterprise level companies on like super complex projects, but you've kind of defined a specific niche for yourself, right? I mean, obviously you're quite technical. I mean, we've had some awesome like technical, you know, SEO talks and stuff, but like your thing is international, right? Your big thing is international. How did you, and one thing I hear a lot of consultants say is that they don't want to niche down, because what if they lose clients, right? But like I found myself with my own consulting that like actually by niching down, you can get more clients and more of the right clients. Can you talk about that a little bit more, how you arrived at where you are now and what that means for you?
Indeed. But that is a little bit at a more granular level, right? But it's like the same of, oh, I do everything online marketing, digital marketing, or I do only SEO or only conversion, or it's the same way, right? Like, indeed, you don't have a high volume, but those clients, if it is like, if your service, profitable enough and useful enough, and you're able to give value, and it's really demanded, you will end up having this client that really will go for you, because they will know you're the person, right? So it's trying to find that. And indeed, for me, it was, it all started really like this, because even like at my first job in SEO, I started working at this online marketing agency that even if in Spain, in Salamanca, most of the clients of the agencies were abroad, because the agency was focused on the travel and learning education industries. So there were many language schools, international language schools, online travel companies, portals, etc. at the time. So yes, a lot of these clients ended up being not from Spain, international clients, and they ended up also having multilingual type of settings and a multilingual audience or international audience. So that is why most of all of the SEO projects that I started with, they were by default international. So it was like very straightforward for me of thinking or doing international SEO projects right from the start, and thinking about that, like multilingual settings, configurations from a technical perspective, also understanding the search behavior, keyword research perspective, content development, everything was like done at an international level, right? So that is how I started doing that. And that is why when I started sharing my experience or writing or blogging or speaking, that is why I started doing it about that, right? Right. Because I was sharing of what I was already doing, right? And mm-hmm. it was not the typical stuff that everybody was talking about also. Right. Right. So I think it was very natural again for me. I was very lucky with that. It was also something that was attractive enough and required for bigger companies. So they were willing to really invest in that, and there had been much more interest around it, especially after Ezra Blank was released, right? A lot of people started to think, oh, now I have a straightforward way to handle this. So now I will take that into consideration instead of, you know, not taking care of it. Yeah.
Right. Indeed. Totally. And I've seen that a number of times. I mean, you've done it. People like Tom Critchlow have done it, right? He works with a specific set of people. You know, I've worked with like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 different marketplaces now, like, you know, very large websites driving millions of visits that have a ton of links and have no technical SEO. And like, there are a lot of people that, you know, need that sort of thing. So it seems like a very kind of natural step to like, if you want to live the solo consultant lifestyle, to then find what you've been doing and do more of that, as opposed to, you know, going and taking a local SEO project or something like that, right? For like a restaurant that wants to pay you $200, €200 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely it's where you are, what you are able to provide, like to local companies. You know, to provide to local companies that will pay you very little, you need to do it at a high volume level. Mm-hmm. And of course, for a solo consultant like me or a small agency, even that's not viable. It will be very tricky to get profitability right now. And you will need to end up being like a super high, like, for example, all these yellow pages companies are now the providers of this type of small businesses because they're able to automatize a lot of the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's simple math, right? Like if you're a solo consultant, you know, you can only manage a certain number of clients by yourself. Mm-hmm. So you can either have like 10 clients each paying you, you know, €500 a month, or you can have like 2 clients each paying you, you know, €5,000 a month. You're going to have much less overhead and be able to get deeper, you know, with them and solve more problems for them. So
definitely
simple math. Interesting. So let's, the last thing I want to touch on is, we've touched on it a little bit, but like, how did you go about finding, like, because you don't want to hire people full time, how did you go about finding people that can do the things that like you don't love to do, like research or whatever? And how did you identify those things that weren't necessarily worth your time and were not your major, you know, value add?
For me, and that is one of the great benefits, I will say, to go to conferences and network, because you end up like running into people that is like, oh, I would love to do what you do, but I don't have enough clients, or I don't have your reputations, or I'm just starting, I don't have your experience, so I'm not able to provide the whole thing myself, things like that, right? That on one hand. And then on the other hand, and that is the reason I continue giving and teaching at SEO courses and masters here in Spain, because these are people who want to have a good opportunity in SEO. And the usual thing is that after they do the master, they go and work as at agencies, like as junior SEO or entry level SEOs. And after a while, some of them really love the agency life or the in-house life, and they continue working at a corporate level. Others, they realize, oh, I hate living in a big city or community or whatever. I would love to go back to my town or by the beach or whatever, but I don't have a proper SEO job there. So this is where it comes handy then to know all these people, because this is when I tell them, oh, let me know when this happened or if this happens. And when that happens, they tell me, hey, Aleida, are you looking for someone? When you look for someone, let me know. I'll be happy to chat. And this is how actually I have been able to hire these people. However, I know that that is not necessarily the situation of many of us, and it's really tricky. And this is the one thing. All these people that I have been working, collaborating with, I knew them because I've taught them at courses, or I met them at conferences, actually. So I knew that they were willing, for example, they were proactive, they wanted to learn, or they were willing to go to conferences, they were willing to get like proper education to be able to really advance their knowledge of it much more faster, right? It's trickier when you don't know the person at all. You don't know if this is a proactive person, if it's someone who's really committed, etc. And I know that there's this higher level of riskiness when hiring someone completely online and remote, right? So this is what we wanted to facilitate also with remoters a little bit. But yes, I can completely see and can completely understand how in this test environment you need to test a little bit more. And this is what I do. Whenever I say to someone, okay, let's collaborate, I will send you a project that I am doing myself at the same time. So I know what the outcome will be, or one of the outcomes will be.
Yep.
But I will give you this project also to yourself, and I will pay you for that. Give me a consultancy, and I don't care to pay to that person for that extra, even if I am doing it myself. Because this will give me a great input to analyze and verify after a couple of weeks and see what's the person outcome and what I have done myself, and compare and see their level of the work and my level of the work.
Yep.
And if at least they have been able to do what I will be requiring for them, I won't be requiring everything. The last, of course, this strategical level and analysis and recommendations is me who does it. But at least that there's no missed data. All the proper segmentation is done, all the accurate levels of areas or types of pages are analyzed. So this, I am able to see their level of knowledge, to assess the level of knowledge, are the rationale of the problems that arise at typical projects, right? So I am able to see, it's like, this person will be easier to teach or not, or is more open to feedback. And when I give feedback, I also see the reaction a little bit. And based on that, we start collaborating or not. But yes, it's tricky, and you need to be willing to test a little bit like this. Otherwise, it will be much more difficult indeed.
Totally. So you basically start, and so I'm a big fan of the 4-hour work week, and Tim Ferriss talks a lot about, like, which I bet you are as well, like, you know, being able to go and, you know, work from wherever and, you know, take time off if you want to. And he talks about doing the same with virtual assistants, right? Where you give them like a specific defined task, and if they come back to you and they've done it well, then you keep on working together. And maybe over time you give them a little bit more like responsibility, but like you started off small. So you're not like, oh yeah, I've hired you full time. Mm-hmm. Like, full time hiring makes no sense to me at this point.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why would you hire someone that you don't even know to, you know, pay them like tens of thousands of dollars a year, you know, and you're not even positive they can do the work, right? You just had like some conversations with them, haven't actually seen what they've done. Like, that makes no sense to me. It seems like you've basically built out your own like farm system.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, the great thing is, like, if you wanted to start your own agency, you could, no problem, of remote people.
Yeah.
Right? But you can also purposely choose not to, because like you don't need the money, and that's not necessarily what you want to do, because it would, you know, all the things we've talked about.
So yeah, definitely.
And the things you do like around, right? Like mujeres in digital, right? Like women in digital, and, you know, in Europe, and, you know, remoters and all of that, all kind of like then feeds into the work that you're doing day to day and your main like consulting.
Indeed. I mean, that is the one thing, right? Especially when you build an agency, you end up having to do a lot of management work or managing people and coordinating people and all that mm-hmm. type of things. And these are things that I don't necessarily enjoy doing, right? I enjoy doing much more client work and interacting with clients and establishing a strategy and testing things. Like, for example, yep. this afternoon, I have spent the afternoon testing progressive web apps. I've mm-hmm. created a pump page and so I have cool. been testing a lot of things. So I love doing that. I don't love to be like trying to figure out HR type of systems to be able to yeah. motivate people, things like that, right? So you need to find the balance a little bit. So in mm-hmm. my case, for example, I always knew that if I wanted to grow, I need to grow with the sizes of projects on mm-hmm. one hand and the maximum amount of people that I ever want to be like coordinating or collaborating with at the right. time is 5, because more than that is too much and I will ended up like allocating much more time and on actual coordination than doing things that I enjoy. So right. you need to establish this rules for you mm-hmm. to keep you like in the right path. Otherwise, it's so easy to say yes to many totally. Things and end up having like, oh, now I need to really end up like you get pushed to hire lots of people. And especially with agency work or consultancy work, it's so easy that you have 20 new leads right now. Mm-hmm. And from these 20, only, well, 10 will end up hiring you, let's say, right? And right. then you end up having 3 cancellations the next month, but you hire one person to be able to take care of that. Mm-hmm. So these type of things,
don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. So yeah. indeed, like, of course, this is my type of what fits to me, what fits and feels right for me, not necessarily right. what will be right or will be actually enjoyable for other people. Other people that I know of, like, they have been like, oh no, I really want like the traditional agency and go mm-hmm. and grow it and sell it after a while, things like that. I am more like non-traditional, I would say. I want
why
to
not,
be able to.
Why not do it now? Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Leda, I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about this and share your knowledge with the Credo community. Where can people find you online?
Yes. So thank you very much for having me again. It has been a really nice conversation and joy sharing this too. And well, I have aledasolis.com. Actually, like, I am like about to launch a new version of my site, a new redesign. I'm so excited about it. So wait for it in a couple of weeks. You will have it. Yeah. Yes. And then in Twitter, I am very active in Twitter. @Aleida is my handle. And for me, the best way to interact with the community and also to learn and to be mm-hmm. updated. So I am like, I'm very active there. So looking forward to see you in any of the, and also if you're going, for example, I will be going to SMX East, also to PopCon, also to Brighton SEO. So if you're going to, and a few other conferences in the next month. So looking forward to see you at any of the major conferences, because I will be likely be there.
Fantastic. Well, Leda, thank you so much, and we'll speak to you soon.